What's going on, everybody? This be your boy
DJ Anonymous.
DJ Anonymous with another episode of Sports Biz Music, the podcast. And I got a special guest on the show today. I got my boy Jay Styles. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, man? I'm good. I'm just getting through the day right now, but should be all right.
Okay. And before we get
to... How are you?
I'm good. Just, you know, trying to do parent things and stuff, and just taking every day one day at a time and stuff. But before we get in the podcast, you know, introduce yourself to the people, to the fans.
My name is Jay Stafford from Toronto. I'm 've been producing music since I was in high school, junior high, high school, started making beats. I've produced records for G-Unit. I've worked with French Montana. I've worked with Wiz Khalifa, Belly, Jazz Cartier. Who else? A lot of underground music artists mostly.
Yes.
Pretty much a lot of artists in Toronto and stuff like that. So I work with Preem, who's like one of he's one of Drake's artists. A lot of people, I've been doing music for a very, very long time. I got into investing like probably like 3 or 4 years ago. So that's going very well. And, just trying to, diversify now, you know, trying to dip my foot in, you know, some other fields, see how I can do, you know?
Okay. We're going to talk about the investing part two as well, but, what made you want to become a producer?
I don't know. I started playing the piano when I was, how old was I when I started playing piano? Like 6 or 7.
Mm-hmm.
And then I took lessons up until I was about 17 or 18, like until the end of high school. Mm-hmm. And then I went back into taking lessons when I was like 2014. So I was like 29.
Mm-hmm.
And then I took lessons for 3 years. But I've been playing piano for 30 years, so I'm 36 now. So I've been playing since I was 6.
Okay. That's like most producers. Always start with either piano or the guitar, or even start.
Yeah, like
church.
I think I was in grade 6 or grade 7. I went to St. Kitts and Nevis. My parents are from the Caribbean,
mm-hmm.
So I went to St. Kitts and Nevis, and I played like steel drums.
Okay.
All summer, so I was in a steel drum band, and then into high school, I was the drummer, high school. So, So I've been making music my whole life. Like my dad's a DJ, my mom's a singer. I have a twin brother, two younger brothers, and a sister, and they all do music. Like everyone does music.
So music is running the family. Literally.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
So what was like your first project that you did or first gig?
First one that I guess everyone would know was like, that was a while ago. That was like 2006, 2000. Yeah, no. Yeah. So basically G-Unit reached out to me in 2006 because I had a bunch of beats that they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know, I guess like somebody stole my beats and gave it to them. And then they found me and found out, I guess, that the beats belonged to me. And then, went out and worked with them, and I think I did like 6 or 7 songs with them or whatever. Not all of them came out, but I did 2 songs with Yayo, and then I did a record with 40 Glock when he was signed to G-Unit before he got kicked off the label. And then 2009 Tony Yayo did us he like redid the song and he made it a diss track towards Rick Ross, and then he shot a video for it and it came out. So that was 2009. So I was probably like, 24, 25 or whatever. And then, And then like after 2009, the year that came out or whatever, that summer, I think it was either that year or the year after. I can't remember, to be honest. That was when I met Wiz Khalifa. I worked with him. I did 2 songs for him. Those were on his mixtape, the Burn After Rolling mixtape. And then I met French Montana, came to Toronto for the first time, and then I worked with him, and then And then I don't know. I figured out how to build my Twitter account.
Mm-hmm.
Because back at that was like 2008, 2009. Like Twitter was like kind of, you know, yeah, Twitter was like, where was that? Because like, it was brand new. Well, it wasn't brand new, but like Instagram didn't come till like 2011, 2012, yeah.
Right?
So Twitter was like where everybody was. But I was like killing that shit. I think the most I remember was like 400,000 followers on Twitter.
Mm.
And then I was verified, and I would trend all the time and stuff like that. And I sold a lot of beats, made a lot of money and stuff like that. But yeah, I don't know. That's basically how I got started, was like basically using Twitter or whatever, and like somebody stealing my beats, and then I just got my career from there. And then I started doing beat battles, and I met Boy Wonder and Murder Beats, and
legend.
Just like all the big producers in Toronto are like friends of mine. So,
you know, during that time, 2008, 2009, you know, that was the peak of mixtapes. Because I was young, I was in high school. I was probably like in my sophomore, junior year in high school. And I remember listening to, you know, like the Wiz Khalifas, the G-Unit mixtapes, the Wayne mixtapes, of course, Drake. That's how he came up with the mixtapes and stuff. Can you explain to the people at that time, you know, being, you know, established producer, you know, being in your, you know, your mid twenties at the time, like how that time was and how music was during them times?
What do you mean? Like how? I don't understand.
No, I'm saying like how like your experience was like how music was back in, you know, the mid 2000s, like. Can you explain to people like the like how it was at that time, like versus, you know, 2022?
The mid 2000s was basically like it was basically like all G Unit and Kanye and like whatever like Pharrell was doing at the time. So like that was like the mid 2000s. T-Pain was obviously big. Lil Wayne was obviously big. Like around the end of the like 2005, 2006, 2007. Like Lil Wayne was like running shit. Young Jeezy, the Diplomats were like really, really big.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously Jay-Z, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and then, you know, that was like before, like we got all the rappers that basically like got their style from like Lil Wayne. Like all the rappers that are big now, they kind of got their style from Lil Wayne, like the face tattoos, the piercings, the grills, the dreads, all that stuff was like, it's all like Lil Wayne using auto-tune on like every song. Stuff like that, like that was all Lil Wayne's influence, you know? So, So most of what I've been doing is just like working on, obviously, like, you know, working on music now, but like back then I was just like, I wasn't working so much on like, I was producing full time. So like all through my 20s, all I did was make beats. I didn't have a job. I didn't have any other outside jobs really. Like I worked at a call center in a basement until like 2009. I haven't had a job since.
Oh wow.
So I just been like, you know, I just been on my own, like doing my like entrepreneur shit. But yeah, but that's basically it.
And how you feel about I'm sorry, you was about to say?
Yeah, go ahead.
Nah, and how do you feel about like the Toronto music scene right now? Cause, you know, it was at one point you know, of course, thanks to Drake.
Yeah, it's dope. I mean, yeah, like at one point it wasn't like, you know, we weren't, you know, we were kind of like, we had Cardinal, but he wasn't like a, you know, a really big like charting artist.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was big here, but like, and he would go in the States and do his thing and make his money and all that kind of shit or whatever. But like, he wasn't like, he obviously wasn't as big as Drake, right? So when Drake came in, like, well, Justin Bieber came, that kind of started it because he was from Canada, right?
Right.
But, when Drake came and The Weeknd came and Tory Lanez and we've got like big artists and stuff like that. Like Shania Twain is from Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Nelly Furtado's from Canada.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Shania Twain's from Canada. Nelly Furtado's from Toronto. Like Celine Dion is from Ottawa. She's from Canada. You know what I mean? So we'd had them, but like just like no one knew. And then Drake came out and he was like every song was like Toronto, 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 Toronto. Mm-hmm. Like, you know. He's like really pushing that, like, yo, I'm from Toronto. Like, this is where I'm from. Like, you know what I mean?
Yes.
You know, like, cause like, I feel like I feel like that's more of a rapper thing. Like when a rapper comes out, it's like, he's always talking about where he's from. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
like every rapper is like tied to their city, like, you know what I mean? Like, but like, you know, like a pop singer or like a country singer, like they're not really tied. You don't really see the, I mean, I guess maybe because I don't listen to that much, mm-hmm. but like you don't really see them tied to the city. Like no one knows, like I'm pretty sure 90% of people that know who Taylor Swift is, they don't know where she's from.
No, I don't. I just know,
you know what I mean? But like every rapper that comes up. Huh?
No, I'm just saying I just know about Taylor Swift because of the 1989 album. I don't really know. I don't even know where she's from, to be honest.
Yeah, but like no one knows. Like, and that's like most pop artists. It's like if you ask most, like, you know what I mean. But like most of the rappers and stuff like that. Like if you say Lil Durk, I'm like, okay, he's from Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
If you say, oh, like fucking 6ix9ine, I'm like, oh, he's from New York. Like, you know, if you say Kendrick, oh, he's from LA. Like, you know what I mean? It's like he's from Oakland, whatever. Right. So when you listen to certain artists or whatever, you think Rick Ross, you're like, okay, I'm Miami. Like, mm-hmm. I know, you know where they're from because that's all they rap about. From where they're actually from, where they're actually from. But like most artists, like most pop artists, they don't like their music and isn't necessarily like. They're making, like, trying to make they're not trying to, they're just trying to make hits, basically, right? Well, everyone's trying to make hits, but, like, the rap is very, very, like, neighborhood-based, obviously.
Right, because.
Right, so.
Because it took me years to
realize. But as far as the music scene, in Toronto, like, the scene here is just very, it's dope. I mean, like, you know, like, every city has their haters and shit. Like, it's, like, no matter where you're going to be, like, people are going to hate on you and shit.
Mm-hmm.
But, like. I mean, you know, if you're good and you build a buzz, whatever, like people will fuck with you. So, but that's like anywhere. Like if you build a buzz, like if you show, yo, like I can actually, like, you know, I can do some damage out here. Like people will work with you, you know. So
yeah, because Toronto, Canada, you know, as a whole, y'all always had this distinct, you know, about y'all. Like y'all very different. Like me growing up. You know, I was a wrestling fan, so it was a whole bunch of wrestlers from, you know, Canada. And I think what Drake did was he opened up the eyes to a lot of people. Because, of course, it was artists that was from Canada before, you know, Drake even was in the picture. But I just feel like he opened up so many doors to Canada and just gained even more respect for the whole country. You know, in that perspective, because, you know, at one point Canada, you know, was just that country, you know, that just that neighbor country that, you know, we all loved and stuff, but it wasn't like a Mexico or, you know, the Caribbean, you know, especially around them days where reggaeton and all that came out. And Drake just, you know, put y'all on the map even further, you know, especially, you know, in pop culture. And, you know, to this day, you can even hear the influence, you know, of the Toronto sound, the just the different sounds. Because for me, coming from Miami, you know, that's one thing I always notice about Toronto is that y'all like Miami, like it's a melting pot. You have people from different countries and different parts of the country and everything. And, you know, I see it, you know, so. I always salute y'all on that.
No, absolutely.
So
I think what people are looking for, at least what I think people are looking for right now, whatever, is just like, you know, everyone's trying to make music and shit, but I think the best thing for people as far as their sound is to like try not to sound like somebody else.
Right.
Like a lot of people that used to piss me off when like an artist like when Chief Keef was big, I remember this artist in the studio or whatever, and he was like he would go on the, like I would press record and shit like that and like he'd be like bang bang and I'm like, bro, like why are you trying to sound like somebody else? Like you should sound like the reason why Drake sounds like Drake, like when Drake comes on a song, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know it's him immediately. When Lil Wayne comes on a song, you know it's him immediately. When you hear Eminem, you know it's Eminem. When you hear Snoop Dogg,
mm-hmm.
he has a very distinct voice. When you hear Rick Ross, like I get Rick Ross could call me right now, and within 5 seconds, I'd be like, "Oh, is this Rick Ross?" Because you just know his voice. Like his voice is kind of like, no, seriously, like you would just know, like because you know, it's like rap how you talk, right?
Right.
But it's like people don't like people will go in the booth and try to sound like, oh, like that's not hot because it doesn't sound like the last like Lil Uzi song or like whatever the fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no, like try to make some shit that doesn't sound like some shit that's already out so that if you pop, no one sounds like you.
That's true. And that's the problem.
No one sounds like you.
And that's the problem with this era.
Like a lot of this shit that's coming out, whatever. It's like, oh, like I need a beat that sounds like this. And it's like, why do you want a beat that sounds like someone else's beat, bro?
Yes.
Like, that's fucked up. So why? So you can make the song that sounds like that song? It's like, bro, like you're just mimicking you think you can make music because you know how to copy somebody else. Bro, you don't know how to make music, bro.
Exactly.
You think you know how to make music because you can copy somebody else's shit? You don't know how to make music if you're just making music. You think you can make music because you could do a really good, like, you know, like, I could have a great Dirk impression. Mm. Like, that's not making music, bro.
It's not.
And
I'm glad you said,
like, that. You should make some shit that doesn't sound like anybody else's shit. Like, get some beats that don't sound like anybody. Try rapping on beats that you don't usually rap to. Like, rap on some different shit. Tell a producer, yo, don't make shit that sounds like anything that's out right now.
Right.
I don't even want 808s on my shit. I want a different slap. I want a different snare on my shit. I want a different clap on my shit. I want different hi-hats on my shit. I want a different bass line. I want you to sample nothing but country music. Like, I want, like, try some shit. Like, just try some off the wall. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, when Future came out and shit like that or whatever, and fucking, what was it, Zaytoven or some shit? I can't remember what the producer was, but he started, I think it was Pierre Bourne or whatever. He came out, he started using the flutes.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, he started using the flutes on the beats and shit like that? And then for 2 years, it was just nothing but people doing flutes on beats. It's like, bro, like, stop trying to make shit. Like, he's just like, yo, fuck it, I'm gonna use a fucking flute or a clarinet or some shit. And they put the shit on it, and it sounded fucking dope. And then everyone's like, yo, like, and then. And it was DaBaby, I think. DaBaby came out and shit like that. He had some flutes on his shit. Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, yo, what the fuck? This sounds different. And then he just did that for like a whole summer. And it just sounded like, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, and he charted crazy. And he blew everyone up. It's like, dog, it's like, you have, not that you should change like who you are, but like, you got to switch it up. Like, right. That's one of my things about Drake right now. Like, every single time he puts out an album, it's like he's putting out a version of the same album over and over and over again. That's dog, true. Not to say that you should try something else or whatever, but I'm just like, yo, bro, like, when you came out, it was like, you are some innovator shit, and now I just feel like his whole thing is just like, oh, I stream more than everybody, and it's like, I get it, you have a formula that works and shit like that, and you shouldn't change it, but it's like, bro, like, I don't know, use some different producers or something. Drake should do a whole album with Timberland.
Oh, yes, he should.
You know what I mean? Like,
challenge himself.
Because it would like, And not to say that, like, Boy Wonder's my guy. Mm-hmm. Like, he's my Boy Wonder's a good friend of mine. Like, I saw him like last week. You know what I'm saying? And like, and not to say that, but it's like, bro, like I miss when one producer would do a whole album.
That was some good old days, like the Dr. Dre's, the
Pharrell's. Yeah, that's what in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and even in the 90s with one producer, whole album. Right, so it's like yo, like, yeah, like if Drake did a whole album with like Pharrell, or did a whole album with I don't know, who the fuck else is really good?
Yeah, Timbaland
with Pharrell, like 808 Mafia or some shit like Mafia, that. Like, that shit would knock, bro.
Because I think,
you know what I'm saying? Like, if Rick Ross was like, I'm gonna do a whole album with Just Blaze, or I'm gonna do a whole album with fucking, you know, that'd be fucking ridiculous.
Yeah,
that'd be ridiculous. That would be like one of the best albums like ever. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just like, I just don't understand. Like, either, I don't know, like, I don't know what, the beats are too expensive or some shit. Like, I don't know what the fuck's going on, but it's like, I just don't see how these conversations aren't happening. Like, I don't know.
I think.
If I was Rick Ross's best friend, I'd be like, bro, like, you need to do a whole album with Kanye.
Right.
Kanye needs to make every single beat.
Exactly.
That would be fucking ridiculous. That would be absolutely ridiculous. That would be fucked up. Like, people would be like, yo, what the hell? And nothing but soul samples. Nothing but soul samples.
See, I love...
Like, that, people would be like, yo, thank you. Like, thank you. You know, so, I don't know.
See,
like, people would be like, yo. Like that, and that's what I mean. And it's not like it can't happen and shit like that, because he's still making beats for people.
Mm-hmm. He still is.
Still making beats. It's not like he's not making beats no more. You know, and I don't think he cares about the money. I think it would be so big culturally that Kanye would be like, yeah, like he'd be more excited. He would be excited about it. And it would challenge Rick Ross too, because it's like, now you got to, you know, he's going to step up his pen if the beat is crazy. That's how it goes. That's how it goes. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know.
No, because I love the passion that you have, because you've been in the game for a long time. You're a producer. You're Front Street. And I've been saying this for a long time. You know, I want to say artists got lazy. I want to say that.
Yeah.
I think.
I don't want to say that either, but. kind of like,
yeah, because they not lazy. Because I know that's why I get mad, because I know Rick Ross, Drake.
You're a fan. I'm a fan. Like, I really do love this shit, right? So I get like, it's not. I'm not mad. I'm just. It's like disappointment.
Yeah. Because it's like
not so much like I'm not angry yet. Yeah. I'm just like, fuck, man. Like, I wanted this. This is what my ears want to hear. And maybe I'm old and I'm played out and shit like that. And maybe it wouldn't sell. Like, maybe they would do it and no one would buy that shit. Like, you never know. Like, I don't know.
No,
maybe I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
No, you do. Because we need this. This need to be out though, because artists are not lazy. I just feel like they too comfortable. Like, it's even the new artists that's coming out. Some of them, you know, they're too comfortable. They 95% of them, they see, oh, they doing this, I'm gonna do this. Like, you know, you remember, you know, we pretty much in the same age bracket. You remember, in the early 2000s, 90s. I'm just gonna put early 2000s because, you know, the old heads used to say that sound was ignorant, but even in that era, you could tell who was from Atlanta, who was from Canada, who was from, you know, the West Coast, who was from New York. You know, you could tell, hey, like, this person, he's raw. Oh, he's from Memphis. You know what I'm saying? Nowadays, you have a Memphis artist that sound like he from Canada. You have a Toronto artist sound like he from the South. You have a West Coast artist sound like he from the East Coast, and vice versa. And it's no distinct sound no more. And that's what gets me mad.
I mean, I could understand that. Like, it's not like they can't do it. Like, because you know they can do it. It's just like they just don't want to, I guess.
Right. And
it's a bit of a trip, because you're just like, yo, what the fuck? Like, what the hell? Like, what's this? Like, no one wants to make their own shit.
Yeah. Like, it'll be different.
It's like, what's going on?
Yeah. Like, it'll be different. Like, cool, Ross from Miami, but he'll get a Swiss Beats to produce the whole album. Had that Miami New York sound come together, that would create a unique sound. Oh, hey 40, come produce a whole album for Future, Atlanta, Toronto. Like, it'd be different, you know, stuff like that. Because you had a great point. Like, if artists knew how to just, you know what, fuck this, I'm a challenge myself. Everything would be different right now. You know, everybody, you could tell for who is who. And I'm going to shout out the ladies, because believe it or not, the female artists, they to me, they're a little bit more distinct from each other, even though they come from that same Nicki Minaj.
Well, yeah, like, they're making the shit that they want to hear. Though.
Yeah.
Like, they're making the shit that they want to hear. Like, the girls are doing, like, they're kind of like, you know, and they're outpacing the men. Like, it's on the charts. The girls are fucking it up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the girls are killing it. Like, on the charts, bro. When it comes to, maybe not necessarily album sales. Like the men are still running that shit. But, like, when it comes to what, like, the girls are fucking it up.
Yeah, when it comes to hits, that they taking over. You know,
For sure. For sure.
It's crazy.
Right? So.
So.
Yeah.
So. Sure. Before we get into one of my favorite, you know, topics is investments. One more musical question is, who was your influence, like, who influenced you growing up as far as, like, being a producer? Like, did you study anybody? Did you not mimic anybody, but did you, like, just study them and see how they, you know, produce, you know, songs and stuff, whatnot?
Like Just Blaze for sure, Polo the Don, Scott Storch, Pharrell, Kanye, like everybody, Rodney Jerkins, Dark Child, Rodney Jerkins, I don't know, everybody. I listened to a lot of shit, and then I listened to a lot of classical music when I was a kid, like growing up and shit like that. So like I was kind of already, like, my ear was kind of already tuned to, like, really complex, like, you know, the chord progressions and structures. And, like, I just had, like, really good ideas and shit like that. Like, I still send ideas to, like, you know, to a lot of big producers and shit like that to see what they can make. Because my shit was always kind of, like, I would make shit that was, like, kind of, you know, didn't really sound like a lot of other people's stuff. Like, I would go to battles and people would be like, how the, like, what the fuck? I sampled, you know, Mario Brothers. Or, like, you know what I mean? So, like, people would be like, what the fuck? Like, how, like, you know what I'm saying? And then I would just, I would sample movies. Like, I would sample movie soundtracks a lot. Like, I love classical music. So, I'd sample, like, you know, like, Liadov and, like, Chavarsky, like, Rachmaninoff and Chopin, like, shit like that. Like, I sample a lot of classical stuff. So, like, people are like, how the fuck? I'd make these beats and shit like that. And, like, even, like, the first, like, couple of beats that I had that were, like, really big, it's all orchestra samples. It's orchestras. So, like, I, you know, Mozart and Beethoven and all that kind of shit, right? So that's where I feel like my sound is different, and nobody is doing that. Like, no one even knows what to go look for. I played all that shit growing up as a child. Like, I played classical music on the piano as a kid. Like, these other producers, like, I mean, again, like, not hating on anybody, but, like, they have no idea who Rachmaninoff is.
No.
So I feel like my shit is, huh?
No, I'm saying, no, I agree with you. Like, speak that.
Yeah, so, like, that's my thing. Like, my inspiration is just, like, obviously, you know, a lot of hip-hop producers, pretty much everybody, every dope hip-hop producer that's had, you know, even the smallest influence on the industry and shit like that or whatever. But then also, at the same time, like, also, like, I love classical music. Like, I like that big fucking, like, you know what I mean? Like, Rick Ross, again, I keep saying Rick Ross because he's one of my favorite rappers, but, like, Rick, I like his shit because his shit just sounds like, you know, like, you just made $1 million, like, 5 minutes ago. Like, I mean, like, his shit just sounds like, yo.
Some rich player shit. Like,
yeah, like, just some, like, yeah, some just, like, yo, like, you know, championship game type shit, right? Like, you to get you hyped up. You know, it's, like, motivational, you know what I'm saying? So, and I like those kind of beats and shit like that. Like, you know, like, he's one of those artists where it's, like, I just want to play in my shit, like, you know, so.
Right.
But, I mean, I don't know. He's a... Hopefully that'll happen one day. But I'm so focused on my investing and shit and just getting bread. Like, I feel like for him to sit down and want to talk to me, like, if I ever got, like, you know, if when I get to the point where I'm, like, super, super, super up, I want to be able to sit, like, if I ever meet him and shit like that, I'll be like, yo, bro, like, I'll give you $250,000. You come to the studio, listen to my beats for an hour.
Nah, speak it to existence, man.
And I know he would be like, yo, you what?
I said, speak it to existence. Like, that could happen tomorrow.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, I know I'm going to run. I was like, bro, listen, like, I didn't, like, I actually made it. And it's going to be funny because I'm going to be like, yo, bro, I actually produced a diss track against you like 10 years ago. It's going to be funny as hell. Like, funny. You're going to be like, what? And I'm like, I produced a diss track. Like, remember, you remember G-Unit? Obviously, you remember G-Unit.
Of course.
Okay, you know Tony Yayo? He put out a record called Somebody Snitch. Like, that's my beat. And I didn't know they were going to diss you on my beat, but they shot the video and put it out before they even told me they made the song. So, whatever. Anyway. I'm like, you're one of my favorite artists and shit like that. I'm like, I don't, like, if he comes to Toronto and shit like that, I'm gonna just be like, yo, bro, I don't know how long you're here for and shit like that, but I'll give you 200,000 cash or in Bitcoin, however you want it. I gave you this bread and shit like that or whatever, but you come to the studio, you listen to my shit for an hour, and I'll tell Boy Wonder to come because he produces for you and he could vouch for me. You call Boy Wonder right now and be like, yo, this nigga Jay Stash just offered me 200,000, come to the studio, listen to beats. He's gonna be like, go.
Make it,
I know, happen. Boy Wonder's gonna tell him to go.
Make it happen. Hopefully.
So, like, I just need to run into him. Like, I need to run into him, and I just need to be, like, up, like, super up, like, financially, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, bro, like, listen, I'm going to bet you this shit like that. You come to the studio, I'm going to play you my shit. If I play you nothing but duds and you think my shit's garbage, I'll give you the 200K. You can walk. I will never bother you again. I won't even speak about this, right?
Right.
But if you like my shit, any beats you want, you can have them, but I'm keeping my money. Because you're getting beats out of it. What the fuck? Like, you're getting beats.
Yeah, you gotta
right.
Yeah.
But I was like, I bet you. But I'm putting my money where my mouth is. I bet you $200,000 right now. I bet you $200,000 or whatever that you'll love my shit. Yeah. I bet you $200,000. Like, you're gonna want to do another album by the time you leave. You're not gonna want to leave, to be honest.
See,
and Wonder's gonna come and I call Boy Wonder, and if Boy Wonder's in town and shit like that, I'll tell him to come or whatever, and he can vouch for me. He's like, yo, you fuck with Wonder? I'm like, call him. Call him and tell him what I just told you. He'd be like, yo, that nigga Jay Stash is crazy. He's always been crazy. Go to the studio.
I was
hoping. Go to the studio. His beats are fire. Like, he's not joking. I battled Wonder before multiple times. We have beat battles in Toronto. Should I battle Wonder?
Mm-hmm.
I battled 40. I battled T-Minus. T-Minus does all fucking J. Cole shit. Little Child and all that shit is T-Minus.
Damn. And I heard.
These are all my friends. I'm like, you know, and when you're done with him, and when you're done with him, call Murder Beats and tell him, yo, Jay Stash wants to play me some beats and shit like that. Should I do it? And he'll tell you, be like, yo, bruh, go. Me and my friends, you know what I'm saying?
So, y'all produce is different, boy.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. So it's like, I don't think, I'm like, dude, call any producer in Toronto, they'll tell you. Fuck with me. Fuck with me. And if and if I waste your time, you come to the studio, you don't hear anything you like. If I waste your time, I'll give you $200K. Matter of fact, I got in my backpack right now. Here, you hold the bag, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't hear anything you like, keep the bag. But if I give you some shit or whatever, I'm gonna give you a zip, a little fucking USB with the beats on it. And you give me back my bag.
That shit crazy, man.
Now I'll see you around. Next time you're in the studio with Boy Wonder, I'm coming.
I love it, dog. I love it, man.
Right?
So,
you know what I'm saying? If I beg him to come to the studio, he'd be like, no, what the fuck is this nigga? Like, nah, fuck out of here.
You gotta be confident.
He didn't know you. It's just confidence. He's gonna be like, yo, mm-hmm. what the fuck? You're willing to lose. You're willing to embarrass yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you believe in yourself that much that you bring that you'll do that. Like, I guarantee you that's never happened to him.
Mm-mm.
Guarantee you.
I know he messed with.
And then my boy tried to talk me up. You don't want to be fucking like paying artists to come to the beach. He'll come there and fucking say he don't like the beach just to get the money. And I'll be like, no, okay. I'm gonna have it on video though. I'm gonna have it on video. So when he says he don't like it,
mm-hmm.
so when he says he doesn't like the beach or whatever, like he's gonna be like, oh fuck. So he can't lie.
Yeah, he can't. He can't.
I'm gonna get it all on video, but put that shit everywhere. But that's fine. Well. Everywhere. And everyone's gonna be like, yo, what the fuck? And he's gonna be like, yo, this nigga Jay Stash believes in himself so much, he gave me 200,000. First of all, anyone that even knows me or has heard of me before is gonna be like, where the fuck Jay Stash get 200,000 from anyway? That's gonna be the funny part. Everyone's gonna be like, yo, what the fuck? How did he even get this bread?
I need 200 grand.
And then when right people now. Hear the beat and he's losing his mind over the beats and shit like that, then other artists are gonna hit me up. Other artists are gonna fall. Like, bro, it's gonna snowball and shit like that because now it's not just I got good. I understand his marketing shit, bro.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, you know.
It's a game.
But just, you got to do speed. You got to do, it's like, you know, it's like go big or go home, bro.
Exactly.
Like, go fucking nuts or just shut your ass up and go back in your mama's basement. Man. Like.
Exactly.
Yeah. I look at it different, man. I'm not trying to be like, oh, like I made a beat and somebody bought it off my website for $50 and I got famous. It's like, no.
Nah.
No. No. Fuck that. That is not the way at all.
So
that's not how we're trying to do this shit.
So let's talk about these investments now. What what are you investing right now? Like, is it stocks, bonds, Bitcoin, NFTs?
I trade everything. So this morning, like, okay, so I invest long term, right? So there's cryptocurrency banks.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck? That's messaging me. Not in your password. Hold on a second, sorry.
All right, no, it's all good.
Send this message to this bastard. Okay. Yeah, so I just, what I've been doing lately, just as far as investing or whatever, is I trade, right? So I day trade cryptocurrency.
Mm-hmm.
I also trade stocks and I trade like indexes, I trade gold, I trade options, all that kind of stuff, right?
Okay.
So I've just been doing that or whatever. I started trading back in like 2017, probably 2018, 2017. And then after that, I got into trading. And then after I got into cryptocurrency, when it went crazy and like the end of 2017, 2018, that was when I really got into, what's it called? Like cryptocurrency banks.
Mm-hmm.
So cryptocurrency banks, if you have US dollars, if you have like USDT or USDC, they'll pay you like 10 to 12% a year just to have your money in there, and they'll pay you out daily. So they don't pay you 10% a day, they pay you yearly. But like, okay, let's say, for example, like let's say you have like $100,000,
mm-hmm.
and then 10% of that will be $10,000, right?
Right.
And then they pay you the $10,000 daily, like every single day. So every day you'll get like $50 or whatever it adds up to, right? For the $10,000.
Right.
I think it's like $30 a day. Yeah. So I've been doing that or whatever, just investing in cryptocurrency banks and trying to put like millions in those accounts or whatever, so that like I can get like if I put like $5 million or whatever, something like that or whatever, I get $500,000 like every year forever for like just because, right?
Right.
So I'm trying to do that or whatever. I trade. I work with a lot of prop firms as well. I'm like a contractor basically, so I trade rich people's money for them get them returns or whatever, and they give me 80%. Yeah, so they give me 80% commission and stuff like that. You got to apply online. It's actually relatively easy. It's just like you better know how to trade, or like, you know, they just don't talk to you anymore. Yeah, like, you just gotta know what you're doing and stuff like that. Like, if you know how to trade or whatever, like, if you know how to turn money into more money, like, people will fuck with you. Like, people like you. Like, if you know how to trade, like, if you really know what you're doing, you know how to turn, like, if you know how to turn, like, $1,000 into, like, $2,000. Mm-hmm. If I go to someone, they're like, oh, shit, like, well, what can you do with my money? And I'll be like, okay, I can do 5 to 10% a month, like, return trade, 5%, like, for sure, right? Mm-hmm. And they're like, okay, as long as you're consistent. Because, like, 10% a month, if you compound it, it's, like, 300% a year. Sorry, it's 200% a year. So you'll triple your money every year. So if you take $10,000 and you triple it every year, in 4 years, it's $1,000,000.
Damn.
Which is not bad. Like, if I said, yo, give me $10,000, then in 4 years. Yeah, if I said, yo, give me $10,000 right now, and in 4 years, I'll give you $1,000,000 back. That's, like, a lot of people will do that.
And how, you say you get how much percentage?
Even if I tell them I want 70% commission, which means they only get $300,000, they still do it. I mean, right. So think about how smart that is. If I get 10 people to give me $10,000, right?
Right.
That means that in 4 years, I get $700,000 from 10 people. That's $7 million.
Then you get your commission. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So what made you want to get into investments, dude?
I don't know. Like, I don't know. It's just because I don't like working for people. I haven't had a job in so fucking long and shit like that. And I haven't had any, like, like big hits or anything like that or whatever, like, lately. So most of what I've just been doing or whatever is like trading. So I just got into trading, investing, all that kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And because I missed the train with Bitcoin the first time and shit. So
how do you feel about Bitcoin, though? Because I still have mixed emotions when it comes to Bitcoin. So how legit is Bitcoin?
I think it's very legit. Okay. I think it's very, very legit. I mean, I don't think it's like particularly not legit. It's obviously legit if banks are getting involved.
Okay.
And people are getting deposited on all that stuff, you know, so I don't know. I think it's very legit. I think it's very good.
Yeah, because it's something, you know, especially when NFTs came out, because growing up, I was a big gamer, still is a big video gamer. And now video game companies are slowly getting to, like, the crypto space, NFT space. And, lately I've been doing my research, and I'm like, once I get a bag, I want to start investing, you know, in crypto, but really, like, the NFT space, like, you know, creating NFTs, but also just buying up different types of NFTs. Cause it's like, it gives me that old feeling, like, back in the day when I was younger, I used to collect Pokemon cards and stuff. And now, like, once you have one for 10 years, 10, 15 years later down the road, you can sell that for double, triple, you know, of how much you even paid for that card. So it's like, when I look at that space, I'm like, you know, I want to be a part of it. You know, like me, I just started seriously investing in stocks and stuff for like the past year. Since I have my child, because I'm like, you know, I don't want my child to work for, well, I'm not going to say I don't want her to work for anybody, because I do want her to, let's say she want to be a doctor or something one day, or a lawyer. I want to have her on her own, you know, hopefully her own hospital and, of course, her own law firm, but also have her money work for her, you know, because with me growing up, you know, I learned the value of saving a dollar, but saving that dollar in the bank, you ain't making nothing. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I'd rather put my money in the market and let it grow and just let it work for me, you know? So I started back doing that for a year. And I think more and more people need to start, you know, slowly just getting to, like, you know what, instead of putting $100 in the savings, put $100 in the market. It's about ownership too.
Mm-hmm. No, you're not wrong. I mean, most of what's going on right now is, like, people are now realizing that, like, investing is the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
And especially what's going on with Reddit and like the like GameStop and like what happened with all those like people pumping coins and all that kind of shit.
Right.
People are now realizing that it's like if you know the right people and you do the research and shit like that, you can get rich like relatively quickly.
Real quick, yo.
You know what I mean? Like it's not as bad as people think, right? So it's not as difficult or whatever. Like, I mean, all the stuff that I learned about like trading and all this other shit, like I learned all this shit, like, I don't know, like just online. Like I learned how to trade on YouTube, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I knew, I mean, I got help from a couple people. I was like, what the hell? Yeah, I learned how to trade on YouTube or whatever. So like, I didn't really like, I mean, I knew a couple of people that were good at trading and I paid them to like sit down.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yo, can I give you like, you know, $100, $200, whatever. Like, can you show me like, just like give me a crash course on everything on Zoom and I would just screen record it. Like I would just record it.
Right.
Like I wouldn't even pay attention. I would just record it and then just watch it later. And then if I had questions or whatever, I would just be like, hey, like, can we do another one? You know what I mean? And I was just like, you know, like I just learned from people. Like indicators that I use are all designed by people that I know. And now I'm getting my own trading view indicators like made so I can learn how to trade and stuff like that and add on to what I'm already doing and shit like that. Like most of the stuff that I do for like, you know, even for investing, it's just like, it's self-taught, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like most of it is like, I didn't go to school for this shit. Like I'm out of college. Like,
no, I'm saying none of us did. None of us did. We didn't go to school.
I learned all this on my own.
Mm-hmm.
Like figuring it all on my own. Like everything I just like I it's just me figuring it out by myself.
When I was getting my master's, I knew about investing, but I think I took I got my master's in sports management. But it was a class, I forgot the name of the damn class, but we basically had like a trial. So we had like fake $100,000. So he was like, all right, y'all gonna invest in these companies. So it was like Under Armour, Nike, Dick's Sporting Goods, AT&T, like, you know, like the big brands. And when I did the trial, I'm like, I did all right. You know, I did okay. I had some type of gang and stuff come back, and I'm like, you know what, I want to start investing. But I think at the time where a lot of people have, you know, even to this day, you know, they hear horror stories about how people put so much money, you know, in the market and they lose all their money. And a lot of people think about the 08 situation, you know, even especially with real estate. And honestly, you know, as years went by, I'm like, you know what? Like, at the end of the day, you gotta. Some of it is just, you know, common sense. Like, if you see a company that's growing or have potential, invest in it. You know, I look at people like Warren Buffett. He always say invest in companies that you use most of the time, and also that you see a lot of potential in. So I'm like, one day I was just in the house and I'm like, all right, I'm wearing Nike shoes. Let me look at Nike. I wear this brand, that brand. I see, I got Heinz products in the house. Let me see how much Heinz is worth, you know? And I'm like, damn, Warren Buffett was right. Hold on, y'all. His phone dropped. Hello?
All circuits are busy. Please.
Hello?
Yo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so, but yeah, man, like, you know, I just learned from the GOAT, Warren Buffett.
Mm-hmm.
So do you do the same thing, or do you have your own flavor when it comes to picking stocks and crypto and whatnot and index funds?
No, I just do the staking. Like, I stake USDT, mm-hmm. so I get like 10% a year guaranteed. Mm-hmm. So I don't have drawdown all that kind of shit or whatever. And then I just trade. Like, so if I make like, I put half the money that I make into staking. So let's say I make like, you know, $50,000 or mm-hmm. something like that, right? Or whatever. I'll take 25 and I'll put it into like my staking account. Right. So I get 10% a year on that. Right. And then I basically just let it sit and I use it as like a glorified savings account. So if I need money out of it, if it's an emergency, then I take the money out. Right. Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, like for the most part, I just trade. And then like whatever money that I trade, if I make extra money, like whatever, like I'll use that to go, like, I don't spend a lot of my income. Like, I don't pay myself a lot of money. Mm-hmm. As I go, like when I trade, I put all the money into like a corporation or LLC. Right.
Right.
So the money that I spend out of that bank account, the bank account that's attached to my business, I just write everything off. So if I go to a restaurant or if I, whatever, like any, all that stuff, I write that off. Right. And then, yeah, that's basically it. I'm not like a super, super aggressive, like, trader. I just, you know, I've figured out a way to get funding.
Okay.
And then, you know, I use prop funds or I get people that have money to invest. And then I just trade their money. And then, yeah, that's basically it. Okay. I just go from there. It's not like, what I do isn't necessarily complicated. It just takes a while.
Okay.
You know, okay. It took me years to learn how to trade. I don't even have a stock portfolio. Like, I don't even have stocks. I don't like, and I don't have like long-term holdings for crypto or anything. Like, I use cryptocurrency technology to make my money grow, but I don't mm-hmm. have like, I don't have any Bitcoin. I don't have any Ethereum, nothing.
Okay. So I understand now.
Because like, you have to think like if I can do 5% a year, that means that every year I'm doing 90% return, like 90% return. Like Bitcoin does not double every year.
Yeah, it don't.
So my trading portfolio actually outperforms crypto in the long run.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand now. Cause that's one thing about Bitcoin. I'm like, Bitcoin is like, if it's up, you really got to take your, you know, take it, like literally take it now, like take it
but
out.
But it has big drops. And it has like, I don't like those 80% drops. Like, that yeah. shit pisses me off. So like, I'd rather just get like my 10%. I'd rather just get like my 300% a year, like 200. Like, even if I get two, like, if I have like $100, or like, let's say I have $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
If I do 10% a month on that for 10 years, like for in a year, it'll triple, mm-hmm. right? So in 5 years, it'll be like 300K. Like, that's like, if you put $1,000 into Bitcoin 5 years ago,
mm-hmm.
right? 5 years ago, Bitcoin, I think at the minimum, it was like maybe, I think it went down to like maybe 4,000. Right now it's 40,000, right? So if you put 1,000 in, you would only have 10,000 now.
That's crazy.
Like, 4 years ago, think about it. 4 years ago was what, 2018? Mm-hmm. The lowest that it ever went was $4,000. So even if you put your 1,000 in at $4,000 and you knew that was going to happen, right now you would only have $10,000, right? But if you but with my trading at 10% a month, I would have $304,000 with $1,000 at 10% a month.
And that's
in 5 years. Like, 5 years ago, because 5 years ago was like, 5 years ago was what, 2017?
Mm-hmm.
And Bitcoin was what, like, even to think about, it, even if you bought it when it was 100, even if you bought it when it was 400, you would have what, 100 grand?
Yeah.
Right, you'd have 100 grand, right? But again, $1,000 for 6 years at 10% a month or whatever, it's 300,000. Even at 5% a month, which is like relatively easy for me, I do that every month, you'd have 18,000. Okay, so if you did 5% a month for 5 years, you would have 18x'd your money. Mm-hmm. So you wouldn't have 100,000. But you understand what I mean? Like, you if I'm investing the entire time and I'm putting more money in and more money in and more money in, and I'm just continually getting returns or whatever, like, you have to understand, like, eventually Bitcoin's gonna go to like probably 300,000 or 400,000, but then it's gonna drop.
Yeah,
right? And that whole time that it's going down, you know what's happening with my money? It's going up because I'm short. I know how to short the market.
Mm.
Like, I know how to short Bitcoin. So no matter what it does, so it goes up, down, whatever. Like, I was shorting, I did longs on Bitcoin all this morning when it was going up. And then gold went down all morning or whatever, so I shorted that shit. Like,
so you pretty much,
you know,
like,
so it's like, it's,
so you pretty much a day trader, pretty much. You trade every day.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, fuck okay. Yeah. Yeah. Cause like, you have to think, like, if I can get to the point where I have, like, you have to think, like, for me to get from like $10,000 to $200,000, it'll take me like 2 years. Mm-hmm. Takes me like 2-3 years. But once I have $200,000, 10% a month on $200,000 is 20 grand a month. But, and here's the crazy part. You could live off 5,000. You could just live humble. Like, just, you could live off 5,000.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then just keep putting that, like, instead of doing like, and then just leave that other 7.5% in there and just get it to like 400,000, 500,000, 600,000. Right. Once it gets to like, you know, cause once you get to like, once you, after a half a million or whatever, it's a joke. Like, cause 10% a month is 50,000 a month. You could pay yourself 10 and save 40. So you could still have a nice place, drive a fucking Hellcat, like whatever the fuck. Like, mm-hmm. You can still have a nice crib and have a nice car and save $10,000 a week. So what do you think is going to happen in 5 years? You keep doing that. What else can I do? You're in millions.
Millions.
Bro, think about it. The richest people in the world are in finance.
That's true.
Everybody knows that.
That's very true.
The richest people in the world are finance. The richest people in the world are in finance. The richest people in the world or whatever. Like, if you take it, like the average millionaire, like the richest people in the world are like Elon Musk and like Tesla, like people that own companies and shit like that or whatever. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But if you took, but like, who do you think is a millionaire on average? Like, what do you think the most millionaires come from? Starting companies or people that work in finance?
People who work in finance.
People that work in finance. They control all the fucking money.
Yeah.
They fund those guys.
That's,
you know what I'm saying? Like, they fund those people, like the lines of credit, all that kind of shit or whatever. Like, if Mark Zuckerberg didn't have a line of credit from his friend, Facebook wouldn't exist.
Yeah, at all.
You're trying to tell me that the people that put in money for whatever, for fucking Jeff Bezos to start Amazon or whatever, you don't think any of them took loans from banks?
They probably, they up though. They probably billionaires. They just probably not letting people know. You know, hey, I'm a billionaire, because...
That's what I'm trying to say. Like, all the people that... The people that make the most money... The finance guys make the most money. They mm-hmm. they run all the fucking money.
They
run the banks. The banks have all the money. Tesla got money. Apple got money. But the banks have everyone's money. They have everyone's money.
That's crazy, man.
Tesla has a bank account.
Of course, your business got to have a bank.
They have everyone's money, right? So they have they have it all, right? So I'm like, man, I need to get in this finance shit or whatever and start making money for rich people, because that's the easiest way to get rich, is to find a way for a rich person to make more money.
So
easiest way to get rich. Find a person that has money and figure out a way to make him more.
So how
you meet a guy, it's like, oh, work. Like, you meet a guy, he's like, oh, I sell carpets or some shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're like, all right, cool. Like, how can I help this guy make more money selling carpets? That's the hard part. You just got to be creative, really. It's not even about being smart. It's just about being creative. And then once you come up with the idea, you do it. And they're like, all right, cool, and shit like that. Or whatever. You're like, all right, like, yo, I have this thing. I could make you a website and a landing page or whatever, whatever. Like, I could do this, and I could probably increase your sales and do Facebook ads and yada, yada, yada. And he's like, all right, cool. I'll give you this. And then you make him a bunch of money. Like, you over deliver and just like, hey, listen. I want to renegotiate our contract. You're only paying me fucking $2,000 a month, and I'm making you $20,000 a month. How about I get 25% of the revenue of the money that I bring you? And now he's like, all right, cool. Like, and I'll feel more comfortable, because it's either, because it's like, bro, like, and I don't want to be a dick, but it's either that or I go to your competition, I do the same thing, and I stop working for you.
No, that's
what's
really
he gonna do, say no? What's he gonna do? Say no? He's gonna be like, all right, cool. Now you're getting 25% of this guy's business, and of basically his entire business, and you're bringing most of his business.
So let me,
you know, like, now you have a little bit of leverage. Not, he has more leverage over you still, because he's still his company. But now you know how to run. Now you know how to run a business. Now you can order rugs from the same place he gets his rugs from and sell them. And you know.
So what about acquisitions? Like, if let's say, like, you know, Amazon, how they just bought up MGM Entertainment. Is that like the same thing as far as like if you were a financial partner?
That's just for advertising purposes.
Okay.
Right? Like, you have to think, like MGM is fucking ridiculous. Like, how big is MGM?
Real big.
like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so, like, they, like, you know, they just got, like, they, like, you know, do you have any idea how big MGM is?
That's like 80% of the whole, like, whole Hollywood, like, movie industry.
Yeah. Exactly, right? So, exactly. And Amazon has Amazon Prime Video, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about like, all right, cool, like, motherfuckers, and MGM need to do something. They need to do something because no one's going to the fucking movies.
Damn, that is
no
right.
No one's going to the movies anymore. They got to do something. They're like, oh, where are you going to give us $8 billion? All right, cool.
That's all right, cool.
$8 billion? All right, cool. It's like, dog, it's like you can't beat them, join them. That's a classic example. If you can't beat them, join them.
And you get money, and you getting money that you probably haven't seen before. Like the, I mean, you did, but it's $8 billion,
bruh. Every single year, people are going to the movies less and less and less. Millennials don't go to the movies.
Yeah, that's true. Cause I'm
when
a,
Disney
I'm a,
movie, bro. Think about it. Think about it. You know this. Yeah. When you got kids?
Yeah, I have one.
You got kids, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. When new movies come out and shit like that, they don't even go to the theater. Where they go? Straight to Netflix.
Yep, Netflix, HBO Max.
Straight to Disney Plus.
Yep.
When I was a kid, I was born in 1985. I'm older, right? So I remember when a movie came out, you had to get dressed, go out of your... It was an event. Mm-hmm. Get popcorn.
Friday, Saturday nights. Yep.
Yeah. It was like a, you know? But now, it's like... Now it's a whole other thing. Like, now people said, now it's like, you know... You have to go to the movies and shit. They say, like, the movies?
Yeah, the movie, like...
Why do you watch it at your house? I'm like, really?
Like, the new Batman that just came out, I think it's on HBO Max now. I'm going to watch that this weekend.
Yeah, I went to the movies and saw that shit. I went to the movie theater. That was the last time I actually went to the movie theater, was to go see that shit last month.
That's right? Crazy.
And it's like, no, it's this month, I think. Whatever. But, like... That's the thing or whatever. I just feel like, I don't know, because it's just people don't, I don't think it's something people don't appreciate it anymore. I just think people are like, I think it's just becoming one of those things where it's getting hard for people to, I don't know, people are just getting lazy and shit. Like, people just don't want to leave their house.
And it's crazy.
And COVID made it so much worse.
COVID, I was just talking to my homeboys. COVID actually kind of made the years go even faster, meaning like, you know, we already knew it was going to get to a point where people wasn't even going to the movies or go to the malls anymore. But COVID, you know, it kind of advanced. It kind of gave us a 5-10 years in advance of like, hey, 5-10 years from now, y'all really ain't going to have to go to the movie theaters because COVID changed everything. Like,
hell yeah.
The hell is a metaverse? Like, we knew about virtual stuff, you know, you was born in 85, I was born in 92, so we in our 30s, we the older millennials, you know, so we know about them times where video games had the virtual, you know, we had the virtual stuff, but now it's a whole new type of metaverse. Like, you could buy real estate and stuff in the metaverse. Like, it's crazy right now.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. I mean, you're 100% right.
And even now, like, I don't know if they doing up there in Canada, but I know down here they trying to force people to go back to the malls because they understand that, man, it's not even just about Amazon. Like, Target, they doing it, Walmart, all these different, you know, big companies, they like, you know what, y'all can either do curbside or we just deliver it to your house free of charge. Like, it's crazy, man.
It's obviously like, you know, it's and there's obviously like a big, financial like crash coming, like, you know what I mean? Like, with inflation, all that kind of shit or whatever, mm-hmm. It's going to get harder for people, you know? So, I mean, you know.
Yeah, because inflation is crazy.
You know, it's going to get pretty hectic for people or whatever, but, yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to help people. Like, I'm trying to help people get an understanding of like what's going on with, like, let's just say with the markets and stuff like that or whatever, so that people can kind of make their own, you know, obviously make their own money and shit.
Yeah.
But like, so that people are like more insulated financially, so that they're not, you know, they're not struggling so much.
Yeah, because I tell my wife all the time, you be afraid on that bullshit, but your 401k ain't going to be worth nothing by the time you retire. You might as well get a Roth IRA or something at least, because you're going to see that money by the time you retire. But you know, she grew up around old school, so it's crazy, yeah, man. So for the last question for the podcast, where do you see yourself 5 to 10 years from now?
Oh my God, rich as fuck. To be honest, it's like super, super, super caked up. But yeah, basically like doing very well, obviously extremely comfortable. And obviously, like, you know, just very comfortable, very, you know, not doing, not really like, you know, not struggling financially, right. You know, just doing my thing and, yeah, just like obviously doing well, still doing music, hopefully. Mm-hmm. And if not, then, you know, I had a great run and had a lot of fun and shit like that or whatever. Just like, you know, hopefully maybe with a family. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Like, where you going? You might
just, well, just basically just doing everything that I'm doing now, but just on bigger and better and, yeah, a higher scale.
Well, don't forget about me.
I'll be here, bro. Bro, I'm easy to get a hold of. Like, I think people think that, like, I'm like, you know, I'm like this, I don't know, celebrity, like, I don't know, whatever. I mean yeah, I understand why, but like,
you've done a lot. Like, you have done a lot. Like,
yeah, no, that's what I mean or whatever. But it's just like, mm-hmm, I'm not that I'm trying to get out of the music industry. I'm trying to get out of having to depend on it financially. Mm. And like a lot of people are like, I talk to Boy Wonder about it all the time. He's like, yo, bro, if I can make like even a quarter of what I make now doing something else, he's like, I would retire in like 5 years. Like, I'm done.
Yeah, man, because it's crazy.
Like, the music industry's not fun, bro. Like, the music industry's fun for, like, if you want clout and, like if you're 22 and you want clout and, like, mm-hmm, bitches and shit like that, like, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But it's like, but if you're like, I don't know, if you are, like, you know, pushing 40, like, I'm going to be 40 in, like, 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, like, if you're pushing 40 and you're, like, really trying to fucking, like, you know,
trying to just
not
vibe,
even necessarily like, you know, it's just like kind of just like, yeah, like just focus on like, you know, your legacy, like, mm-hmm, get married if you want, like if you're into that kind of shit. Mm-hmm. I personally would never get married, but some people want to, you know, a lot of people are into that kind of shit.
Right.
I mean, then that's cool. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't think it's like I don't know. I think rap is like, it's like selling drugs or like being a stripper. It's like something that you do to make a bunch of money so that, mm-hmm, you don't need to. Like, if you look at all the rappers that are like in their 40s and 50s and shit like that, they all have businesses. Kanye has Yeezy. Like, yeah, you know, Jay-Z has all kinds of businesses. Like, yeah, Dr. Dre retired, all, yeah, kinds of businesses. Like, Young Jeezy retired, making, like, you know, still making, right, music. Like, same thing with Rick Ross. Look at Rick Ross. Like, owns fucking 30 restaurants. Like, you know what I'm saying? Probably more than probably owns a bunch of other shit that we don't even know about, right? Yeah. So it's like, you're supposed to take the money from rap and then go and invest it in shit like that or whatever and then be like a businessman, really.
Right, but I'm
like, you're supposed to open more business or whatever, so you could, you know, you could hire people, you could, you know, help feed other people in your, because everybody can't rap. You can't sign all your boys.
No, you can't.
You can't. Someone's got to drive the car. Someone's got to fucking. You need a shooter. You need someone to fucking
manage.
You need someone to fucking, like, yeah, to like keep the crib together. You know what I mean? Yeah. You might need someone to watch your kids. You know, while you're out doing shit, you might, like, you know, maybe one of them can get like a real estate license, right? So when you buy homes, you could buy them off your boy,
right?
Type shit, like, you know what I mean? So like, there's just ways to. About that.
Yeah,
so like, don't do anything or whatever. It's just like working and, you know, just leveling up to like the next, like, what's the next step? Because I'm not trying to be in a studio with 18-year-olds when I'm 45 years old, bro. Like, nah.
45, you multi-millionaire, getting close to that band.
Yeah, 45, multi-millionaire, I'm in the studio, mm-hmm, with a new 19-year-old hot rapper. It's like, no. I'm fucking hell. I don't even like that. Like, it's like, bro, the style of music they're doing, I don't even like. Like, I don't even listen to that shit at home. Now I'm making beats for a rapper who makes music that I never listen to just because he's got a check and just because I'm a hot producer. It's like, no. No. And I want to do some other shit. I want to go make beats. I want to go make beats for movies. I want to go fucking, like, you know what I'm saying? I want to go do, like, a movie score. I want to make a label and sign artists.
Yeah.
Or sign some young producers. Sign some young producers and give them the opportunities. It's like, all right, cool. Like, you're like the new me.
And you just oversee everything. All right, cool.
Like,
everything.
You're the new youngin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm not trying to be in the studio fucking 18 hours, like, flying everywhere, sipping lean. In my 40s? Nah, fuck that. I'm good. I'm okay. I retire. I tap out. Yeah. I fell off. Whatever. Who cares?
You want to travel, but you want to vacate. You know, you want to do all that.
Yeah, like I'm done, bro. I'm finished, man. I'm like, I'm almost there. Like, I really, really want to get like a Drake placement, and yeah. Like work with Ross and stuff like that or whatever. Like, if I get like, you know, if I get the opportunity, cool. But if it never comes, bro, I don't give a fuck. As long as I'm rich, bro.
What's wrong with that, man?
I don't give a fuck. I am not picky. I'm good. Like, I don't give a fuck. As long as I get to have, like, you know, 2-3 nice cars and a big ass fucking house and a bad bitch and shit, bro, I'm not hard to please.
At all, man. But, man, thank you for coming on the show, man. Hey, we gotta do this again, man. Hey, this me, your boy DJ Anonymous, with another episode of Sports Biz Music, the podcast, with the homie J Styles. And we out. Peace. Mm-hmm.